Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we're joined by a coach. He's an athlete. He's an MMA fighter. He's a parkour enthusiast. He's a YouTuber. He's knowledgeable about the body, and he does risk his life on a regular basis. Please welcome to the show, Dominic Sky. How are you, Dominic?
I'm good, Johnny. Thank you. That was a very nice introduction.
Tell me, why do you risk your life on these random stunts where you're not getting paid for to do it?
You know, that's funny. I was just speaking with a friend who works here, and he was like, you turned out $2,000 and then you did it for free, talking about the first time I climbed the chimney. And he could not get that into his head, like just couldn't figure it out why. For me, I have to say it was never about risking my life. That was never even in my brain. Like, to me, it's just I was young and I fell in love in sports and training. And I wanted to create something beautiful out of it. That was kind of it. It just so happens that some stuff was risky, some stuff more risky. But in all actuality, I think pretty much every sport is a fairly dangerous thing. If you look at the dirt biking or something, I have a friend who does that. Like, if you crash on a dirt bike, like, you can. I have a lot of friends who are athletes in different sports, like downhill or stuff like that. All of them had a lot of injuries, a lot of broken bones. Skateboarding, snowboarding, all of it, I would say, is a fairly dangerous thing. So for me personally, I would say the training made it less dangerous, and I just tried to minimize the risk and still did what I wanted to do, with always having absolute certainty that I can pull it off. If I didn't feel 100%, I would back away. And there was plenty of those times, but nobody talks about that.
Dominic, was there a time that you didn't feel 100% and you didn't go through with the stunt?
Where I didn't feel 100% and I didn't go through with the stunt, if that happened? You see.
Well, what I'll ask you is, was there a time where you were worried and you still did it?
Yes.
Which one was that one?
Was actually the first time I really had a serious break. I've broken my collarbone. I did a front lip from like 5 meters height. That would be maybe 17 feet or something. And I was there, I was practicing it, I had my mats on the floor, and then I go for it on the mats, and I over-rotated. I knew it right away. I went for another one, over-rotated, which basically means you crash on the mat a little bit harder with the shoulder. But rain started to fall, and I was like, shit, like if I don't get an attempt on the real solid floor, which in my opinion back in the day was, if it's a little bit of mats, it's bullshit, like it's fake, it's not real. So no mats whatsoever was the only thing that counted for me as it being successful. And the rain started to fall a bit, and I was like, shit, like, man, if I don't do this right now, I gotta come back the other day, like, warm up, mentally prepare. So I was just like, fuck it, let's just do it. And I knew I wasn't, and even as the run-up, I still remember me being like, eh, what could go wrong? Like, yeah, a lot of things can go wrong if you do a fucking front lip of 17 feet. So I over-rotated, same thing happened, broke my collarbone. And that's actually the last bigger fail that I remember, like where I was doing something very important, I wasn't 100%, and I failed. And everything from that point on was on point. More or less, there's still in training sometimes, but nothing serious.
Dom, which one did you refuse to do?
Okay, the one that is fairly significant was the first time I climbed the chimney. I wanted to do a handstand on the top, and I was preparing for a handstand. I was like, flag is going to be just a sideshow, so I'm going to do, like, that's easy. I'm going to do a handstand on the edge. I prepared for it for like almost a year, practiced on a daily basis, mentally preparing for it. And then I went there and I saw the chimney and I just shit my pants like right away. I was like, whoa, because the highest, I've never climbed anything high. So that was like freaking 365 meters. That's 1,118 feet, I believe. So it's like 10 times bigger than anything I've been on. And I was doubting myself whether I could actually climb it or not. So I just went there and I took it one step at a time. I was like, let's just try first 20 meters and see what happens. So I did that. I'm like, okay, I'm alive. Still scared shitless. Let's try one more. And I tried one more and then one more. And I got to the middle of it. And then you can go inside, so I felt a bit safer. I was like, okay, I think I can go all the way up, actually. And I went all the way up, and there I was like, just like, Hansen is a no fucking no way. No, like, wasn't even like a debate list right away. Okay, no Hansens whatsoever. Human flag seems doable, though. So yeah, that's what I went for.
So, did you live your life in Europe? I don't know if it was Slovenia or
Yes.
Slovakia. Were you in those countries? Where were you?
Slovenia, yes, sir. So yeah, I lived there my whole life. So basically, the past 3 years, I have a student here in the States. So I kind of come here for 3 months. I have a beautiful opportunity, so I take it and I just train MMA here. But I lo absolutely love my country. I think it's one of more beautiful places to live. And yeah, for majority of my life, like till I was 27, I didn't even leave the country, basically. Maybe to Croatia or Italy or Austria, which are next door, but nothing for more than a week.
Is there a sport that you want to take part in? Maybe you want to do motorcycling or like some race car driving or something?
Oh, I do race car driving semi-professionally. Like the place where I live, it's a lot of like dirt roads, it's a lot of small villages. Like my village, it may be about 150 people living in my village. 150,
150.
period. Like, yeah, like,
Is that why
and I'm
there's
like,
no one in your videos?
yeah, that could be the case. Yeah, so just a very, very, very small village. Everybody knows everybody. But I don't know. I grew up there. I fucking love it. I love the nature. I love the weather. The remoteness of it, everything. I love it.
So, do the other people that live in that neighborhood, because they know everybody, do they look at you and they go, "That's that psycho that lives down the road"?
Yeah, that's kind of how it was. Yeah, maybe still is.
Why did you train in that little wooden house? What did you like about that training area? Seeing that all, like so many people have these mega gyms where there's so many people going and there's so much equipment. I just saw yours and it looked like you had assembled it over a long duration of time and you just loved training in there. It looked like a paintball area.
Ah, shit. I actually I got into martial arts like in 2008 or 9-ish when I saw, and it's kind of funny, Undisputed 2. So Yuri Boyka, I don't know if you've seen
Yeah,
the
of course,
movie.
those movies are stupid, but yeah, they're funny.
But yeah, it's like I was like for me it clicked because that was the first person that I've seen that was jacked. Like Scott Adkins was fucking like looking ripped and shredded and muscular, and he was fast. Like he was faster than me, and he did flips at the time better
Do you
than me.
think that guy was pumping roids?
That's a good question. I don't know with the actors these days. Depends. I think it's quite common.
Jake
To get.
Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal on the Roadhouse. I thought, yeah, that looks like, bro, like, if he looked like that in the like his 20s and shit, and then continued to look like this, like that's nothing suspicious. But if you look like normal up to the age of like I don't know how old is he? Let me guess, about 40, and then just look like fuck, bro. I trained like for 20 years. I don't look like he does in that movie. So it's a bit suspicious. But as for like Yuri Boyka, what I saw was skills, and I read his biography, and he He just started training by himself at home. So he made a dojo at home. And I was like, wow, that's genius. Why not build a home gym? So that was kind of that's where I got the idea. I thought first for parkour purposes. Then I put on a heavy bag and started training of some boxing and some BJJ and some wrestling with my friends, and all semi, all nothing professional, but just for, I loved it. And then kind of transitioned into calisthenics and training, and then I got a bit jacked, and I thought that was interesting. Oh, one arm pull-ups and handstands, gymnastics, it just snowballed further on.
I had a debate with someone recently about flexibility and the effects it has on strength. I was confused with if you're more flexible, do you put on more strength, or if you're less flexible, does that mean that your arms are or your body is in a position where it can't be mobile enough, and because of that, you're building more strength in that limited area? I don't know how it all works. That's why you're on the show, because you'd probably figure it out.
Oh, this is actually a fairly simple thing. Mobility doesn't take away from strength, not in a major way, but the first thing that a person, if you're a human, should be an athlete should be considered or obsessed by is strength, like strength development. Strength development is the single most important thing because of which you don't get injured. Like if you're not sufficiently strong to do a body weight squat, you cannot stand up from a chair. So if you have an old person, a 60-year-old, why can't they walk and run? Because they're weak. Not because they're poorly flexible. Sometimes they're poorly flexible, but if you're poorly flexible, you can still run, you can still walk. That doesn't require a whole lot of mobility and flexibility. Like Floyd Mayweather.
I've seen some people move pretty fast. You know, these types of runs when people can't really move too much and they have to jolt their way. I've seen people move pretty quick like that.
Yoel Romero just bought it today.
Correct. Correct.
So you can like so mobility work doesn't take away from strength, but if you're focusing on strength, then mobility work is that extra fucking work that you gotta do that serves some purpose. Like if you wanna have a nice high kick as a martial artist, you're gonna have to do some like mobility, some flexibility work. So that can pay off, but the strength is a more important foundation, and then flexibility is a nice addition to it, if that makes sense. At least that's the way I see it.
I printed out a photo of Yoel Romero probably a week ago just to remind myself that I'm a fucking loser for not looking like a 45-year-old man.
Say it again. You're a fucking loser because, you
Because
can't
I
fight.
because I but because I can't look like him, and he's 45 and I'm 20.
Oh, first of all, you can actually look like him or fairly close to it, but that would take about probably about 6 years of hard work and diligent eating and not having a much of a life outside of building that physique. Because he is incredibly gifted. I actually think he's one of few who's maybe not on juice just because he's a specimen. If you look at the way they train back in Cuba and the training regimen that he went through, like they have the top 10 guys on the team, and the guy who's the best is the one that gets the most amount of food. So if you're the
Yeah,
best,
heard.
I just saw that, I was like, wow, that's a tough regime they had there, and it makes sense that it created such a ridiculous human being. And I'm guessing there was hundreds of athletes who got injured and couldn't make it. So he is in each case a physical specimen, whether he's on juice or not.
So we'll check back in 2030 or 2031, and I'll look fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
With
If you want to.
Yoel, his eyeball, I heard the tendon in his eyeball was three times bigger than your average human.
Yeah, that's quite fascinating.
So the reason that I don't think he's on juice either is because when he was 20 and when he was 22 and he was competing in the Olympics, now I'm in Australia, he competed in the, I believe it was the 2004 Olympics, which was in Sydney, Australia, and he won the silver medal there for wrestling. When he did that, his body was big and strong, but it was the same size. He had never gone higher than the 185 weight class, and he had never gone below it. He stayed in the 185 weight class for 20 plus years, 22 years. So that would infer that he's not fluctuating in weight, which is a massive indication of if you're pumping roids or not.
I agree 100%. Makes sense.
Let me ask you a hard question. A lot of people get angry and say that you should not train your spine. I want to ask you, should you train your spine and how do you make it stronger?
Oh, say it again. Should you train your what? The
Like the muscles around your spine.
Should you train your spine? By that, you mean lower back or neck or thoracic spine?
Well, there's
Could
a
be.
lot of people that as they do their training, they try and get the mobility in the if your head's here and your feet are here and you're facing that way, they try and train with a barbell that way, putting weight on the spine and try and curl it and move it in precarious positions to build strength. And there's a lot of debate saying that you shouldn't do that. That's like modern medicine. And there's a lot of athletes, like NFL players, that have been doing it that have fucking gone ridiculously strong and fast doing it.
So the exercise that I think you're referring to would be something like a Jefferson curl or something where you're basically going in a spinal like a flexion, like would look like a deadlift but with a rounded back. Is that okay? Well, first of all, my opinion is no exercise in this world is should be deemed bad exercise. Like fucking, if I want to do a Jefferson curl or a deadlift or a, there's no bad exercises, period. There's only bad training regimens. If let's say in case of the lower back, if you push too hard on an exercise that is meant for strengthening lower back, if you push too hard on this, you're gonna fuck up your lower back. It's a simple like if you train an exercise, if you're training bicep curls, you put too much weight, you do it too often, you're gonna fuck up your bicep. It's 1 plus 1 is 2. So if you train lower back 7 times a week, you're pushing too much weight, you're lifting on the ego, the form breaks down, you have a random fucking training schedule, you're sleeping random, like fuck, you're gonna get injured 100%. And again, it's not the exercise, it's about your implementation of the exercise sets volumes intensity. No exercise is bad. Like you can do pull-ups, behind the neck pull-ups, military press, squats, deadlifts, lunges. Fuck, all is good. Like there are some that are more dangerous than others. That's absolutely true. So you should be careful in which ones you choose. But like for somebody, let's say for MMA fighter, when you pick up somebody from the ground and you want to lift them up or suplex them, you won't do that with a perfectly straight lower back. If you look at Alexander Karelin, one of the most notorious, dangerous freaking wrestlers of all times, 888 wins or something of that nature. But when he does the Carolin throw, he picks up a huge dude that weighs 260 kgs from the floor. He doesn't do that with a straight lower back. Like how can you like if you look at a strongman lifting Atlas stones, when you pick an Atlas stone, it's just the nature of the object is you cannot lift it with a straight spine. Further on, let's say I'm a farmer. My father is a farmer. When you go into the woods and you carry like a huge logs, like you don't do them with straight lower back. So if your lower back is not conditioned to lift stuff in flexion, and that is something that you do either in your profession or training or daily life, then you need that strength there. So you need to strengthen it. Again, can you injure yourself doing that? Absolutely. Like if you're gonna be in the woods fucking picking up trees all day long, your lower back not strong enough, you can get injured. But you can get injured doing absolutely anything. I got injured doing stretching, I got injured doing middle splits, front splits, I got injured doing Jefferson curls, I got injured doing deadlift about like 20 times. I sold the barbell at one point. I was like, man, fuck this. And then again, I was like, no, this is not true. I lifted on the ego a bit too much. I hired myself a coach just to be like you write down this shit. I'm not even gonna go for it. And we slowly went with it. Like after a year of squats and deadlifts, I had no lower back pain, no injuries, lower back related, and I still did squat and deadlift. So You can get a golfer's elbow, tennis elbow doing pull-ups. That doesn't mean pull-ups are bad. That means, like, your training program was shit. You did too much pull-ups, too much weight. You should have switched to a neutral grip or a chin-up grip to prevent overuse injuries. And you didn't. You just kept doing pull-ups. It hurt, kept doing it, got injured. Like, that's how it is. So, there, in my opinion, there's no such thing as a bad exercise. Everything can be done in a productive way. But what's that top thing for an athlete? That depends on the sport and and the individual, what he wants to do, basically.
Do you think for you the most important key indicators of not getting injured were having a correct sleep schedule and the sufficient load management?
Absolutely, and something here is also the training frequency and volume. Let's say I do my strength training. Maybe I do 3 sessions a week on strength or 2. Maybe I do road work, some running twice per week. Okay, then I do some boxing, for example. Let's say anytime on a weekly basis that you add in a new variable, it changes everything. So let's say you're training boxing 3 times a week, strength 3 times a week, and you're doing some cardio, some running. Next week, if you add jiu-jitsu and you add it 4 times a week right away, you're going to get injured. Like, unless you're a 16-year-old kid who has exceptional testosterone levels, beautiful recovery, and he's still in the prime walking around with his dick hard. Like, okay, you can make some mistakes there and person is not going to get injured. But if you have a 35-year-old who's want to practice, try jiu-jitsu for the first time, like, bro, first go for 1 session. See how next day your rotator cuffs are going to be sore. Maybe the bicep is going to be sore. Your lower back is going to feel weird because you're on the floor. Maybe your hips are a bit sore. If you do the session the next day, and the next day, and the next day, you're going to get injured doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then you're going to say, which I saw a video, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or no, the title of the video was How I Fucked Up My Body with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You know, and the 20 minutes on how BJJ is horrible, bad, intense. It is all those things. It's an intense sport. That doesn't mean you have to get injured doing BJJ. You know, so.
Is there an injury that throughout your career has, you know, repeated multiple times? Is there an injury that keeps on showing up?
Lower back was the main thing.
Yeah, and what did you have there?
This is basically a very... So I started squatting and deadlifting at some point when I did flips. Because I was like, it's a useful thing to get stronger. Maybe I can jump further. And all of those things happened. I got stronger knees, stronger hips, stronger legs. I was using squat and deadlift to my advantage. Did a backflip through 23 feet, blah, 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 all those things. Had no troubles. Then, because I achieved my goal regarding squatting and deadlifting, I was like, I'm not going to go any further in this direction. So let's just go back to like my jumps and flips and calisthenics, because I had no further goal. I didn't realize, though, that squat and deadlift are like, it's like brushing your teeth just for your lower back, in my opinion. Like, I use squat and deadlift with all of my students. And sometimes that means... Because people, when they hear deadlift, they think my students are all lifting 400 pounds. Like, I have a student here who does deadlift with 40 kgs. Like, that's what, 90 pounds. You know, he does 3 sets of 10. He's a 55-year-old. There's no need to go up to twice body weight deadlift for a person to live a normal, healthy life. Like,
how many reps would he be doing?
He did, like, this week was active rest week. He did 3 sets of 8 or something.
Keeping the load kind of small. Or manageable.
Yes, exactly right. Manageable. So if my mother started squatting and deadlifting at the age of 60, well, she had a knee surgery, wasn't getting any better. She wanted to have another knee surgery. I was like, Mom, like, fuck no. Like, I can't let you fucking, because surgery is... Surgery can sometimes be an answer, depends on what's the problem. But even after surgery, if you don't take care of your body, it's going to go back to that same fucking thing.
Yeah, so I was Dom, like, the doctors said to me, they said, yeah, your knee's a little bit dodgy. We might need to go into surgery. I'm like, bro, I go, I'm 20 years old. Fuck off. I'm just gonna fucking build my fucking leg. And then if I fix my quad, my hamstring's probably gonna support it anyway. Relax.
Thank God. Like, and so many people don't have that common sense that you had and actually do the surgery. And then they do the surgery, and then they're 25 and the knee starts hurting again. You're like, what the fuck am I gonna do? So you can always get a surgery if training doesn't work. But at least I would suggest maybe try doing some training, you know, which is far less invasive procedure than, oh, let's fucking let a dude cut a knee. You know, so my mother's started with bodyweight squats, and I realized she couldn't do two reps of a normal bodyweight squat, and she would spend a lot of time outside. She still works. She's a farmer's woman. Like, she's out there on the field. Like, she's working, and she spends a lot of time in a squat position on the field. So her knee was troubling her because it was weak. Mobility was perfect, but the knee was weak. She couldn't do fucking three squats. Of course, the knee was weak. So I was like, okay, mother, let's. First, she started with assisted squats, so literally squatting while holding on to something. Then we progressed to three sets of five bodyweight squats. And now she's doing just bodyweight squats. I don't know, probably right now she's about three sets of 15. And her knee is good. There's still sometimes some pains, but like, you're an old human, you're going to be in some pain. But she's functional, she can move around, she does deadlift as well, 20 kgs, just the barbell. And just progressing in sets and reps. Like, when they come back, I'm okay, we can jump from 20 kgs now to 30 kgs. But in each case, if your back hurts, your knee squat, or anything hurts, you want to go and you want to do a training session. If you how to know you did the right amount is that you feel good during the session. Let's say your knee hurts 3 out of 10, it hurt before the session. If during the session the pain doesn't go up, you're doing a good job. It's unrealistic to expect if a person has lower back pain for 10 years and then they do the first session and lower back is going to drop down just during the session. Like, life is not that magical. But if the pain doesn't go up on the session, after the session, and the next day you should feel reasonably fine, then you did the right amount of training. Right amount of strength training or conditioning, whatever you did. And then you take it from there. And for a specific body part, or let's call it pattern, there's with our bodies, we can pull stuff, we can press on stuff, and we can. For lower body, it's very simple. It's squat and deadlift. It's one is push, one is pull, basically. Hips are very, very simple. Like, there's squats, the hips are either extending, so hips are fairly simple. So if you just use a couple of those exercises correctly, that's where I was going, sorry. Twice per week, more than enough. I don't train pull-ups more than twice per week. I don't train lower body more than twice per week. I don't do squats 7 times a week or some stupid shit like that. So twice per week, anything regarding strength is more than enough. If a person wants to be healthy with minimum amount of work, I would say do three sets of squats, three sets of deadlifts, maybe some overhead pulling if you can, or overhead pressing. And if you can't do that, some horizontal pressing, which would be some push-ups or bench, and horizontal pulling, which is some rowing, some rows. That's it. Like, that, you cover the whole body. You cover the pulling, pressing portion. You cover all the muscles. Like, if you're doing a push-up or overhead press, tricep is working, delts, like anything pushing-wise is working. Rotator cuff is working, it's stabilizing. If you do your squats, your lower back is working for stability. Core is working for stability, ankles are working, knees, everything. So people tend to overcomplicate this stuff with modern days. We have so much tools available from kinesiology and sports therapy and rehab that people somehow got lost in doing stupid shit, you know. Which I was there as well. Like, I was training for 10 years, then like, I fucked up my lower back, fucked up my rotator cuffs, and then you tear your bicep, and you're just, man, I just don't fucking know anything. And took me, like, that's why I don't take almost, I take advices from people who train, but I would never get coaching for somebody who's been training less than 10 years, because you don't know, you can't know shit. Like, after 5 years, I thought, oh, I know everything. Yeah, I really didn't know shit. Like, yeah. Right now, I know some stuff, I know some principles, but I'm still developing. Like, it's a never-ending process.
Don't you find that funny that every single person the experts in every single field say that after being in the field for like 20 years, they go, yeah, I really don't know anything. I feel like I need to start again.
Well,
Isn't that weird? Because that would infer that the amount of knowledge in each field basically means that nobody can actually know everything, or the experts get to a point where they're almost like, I kind of give up. I'm just trying out here.
you know what I think here is the key? If you learn, if instead of learning information, you learn the main principles. If you know, like, let's say, what would be a principle regarding strength training? A simple one. For strength, what is strength? Strength is force production. And for strength training, we use the exercises that involve the greatest amount of muscle mass through an effective range of motion. If you know that, okay, a pull-up involves every freaking muscle in your upper body that does pulling. The lats, the rhomboids, the middle traps, the bicep, the grip, the brachialis, the brachioradialis, the rotator cuffs, fucking all of it is gonna be working. So if you know that, like, how many pull-up variations are there? About 55. You can go up like one side, the other side, blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, it's like, how much weight can you pull? Like, with how much weight can you do a weighted pull-up? And person like 30 kgs. Okay, that's good. Like, that's a measurable thing that we can say. Okay, if you can do 10 pull-ups, you have good pulling strength. That's a useful thing to know. Like,
I
if a
can do
person
10.
that's decent pulling strength. On the other hand, let's check your. If where's your overhead press? Like, can you overhead press 40 kgs for 10 reps, 50 for 10?
I think I can do around like 50, yeah.
50 for 10. That's decent. And that's already a nice balance you have between your overhead pressing and overhead pulling. For upper body, with this, you already covered freaking just do pull-ups and overhead press, you're way ahead of the curve. Man, some people are fucking doing like bicep curl, then he's doing tricep extensions, then you can do tricep extensions, you can do lateral shoulder raises, you can do front shoulder raises, you can do half range of motion curls, bottom half, then you can do top half, you can do top part of like overhead press, you can do just bottom part, and you're like, the combinations are infinite. You can press a barbell, you can press a dumbbell, you can press a log press, you can do press a neutral grip, pronated, supinated, like shit. And there people get lost. If you're just like, overhead press is a good exercise. Why? It's good range of motion and it's a lot of muscle mass engaged. Okay, let me use that. Like, it's the same for squat, it's the same for deadlift. Like, it's simple. If you want to be strong, I cannot, if a person cannot deadlift 100 kgs, you don't have a strong lower back. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, that's how we measure strength for lower back, because strength is like, how much force can you produce? And a deadlift is a simple lift, doesn't require too much technique or precision like snatch or clean and jerk. It's very simple, like lift that shit up with a reasonably straight lower back, and that's how we measure strength development. And again, with deadlifts, like people then, ooh, sumo is better than conventional, or conventional is better than sumo. No, trap bar is better than both because it has a specific, it's all the same shit, just like do one that you like all of them work. Like, it's a
Talking about doing the one that you like, I want to get your opinions on this. I felt like me squatting with a barbell on my back was really uncomfortable for my body. I don't know what it was. It was an issue. But when I switched to Zurches and I put the bar in front of my body, keep in mind I'm flexible. I can put my, the knees over toes. That's too easy for me. But I felt like doing the Zercher was more beneficial for my body frame to go forward instead of backwards because I felt imbalance here and I feel really balanced and solid here.
Makes perfect sense. I would never force somebody to do a variation that they don't like or that it feels awkward on their body. Like you said, everybody is slightly different, mobility wise, like proportion wise. Somebody can have a very short torso, long legs, they can like deadlift like crazy, but maybe something else feels weird. So I would always suggest, among the variations that are very productive, which any variation of a squat or a deadlift that's done with two legs and symmetrically and you can lift loaded up correctly is a good variation. Whether you use the, like the front squat position, this one or Zercher or high bar, low bar, all of them are good. Like, and maybe after a while you'll get sick of the Zercher deadlift. You're like, man, I'm fucking like just tired and sick of this. Let's switch up a variation and try and learn a different one. And that's also gonna provide a different stimulus. Maybe you get some more strength where first you were weak. So it's all good. Yeah. I would, and the thing is also here, there's a lot of stuff we don't know about training. We don't know whether a person is going to be stronger if they do overhead press or if they do handstand pushups. Like, you cannot fucking tell. Like, is a person going to be stronger if they're doing 3 sets of 5 or 4 sets of 4? Like, it's not the same thing 4x4 or 3x5 with, like, or maybe 10 sets of singles. Like, my brother loves doing heavy singles. So he does 5 sets of 1 rep with a very high intensity, goes very high, very intense on the central nervous system. It is a bit more attention on the tendons and everything, but again, he can handle it. So we don't really know what works best, whether Zercher squat is going to get you further than a front squat. Who fucking knows? Like really, it's immeasurable almost.
Dom, how do you think the people that train for aesthetics and not even athletic performance, just to look good, feel when they see Yoel Romero run in a straight line and get massive doing it?
You know what? I don't really give a shit why the person trains, or if a person wants to be like big and that's their only thing like that inspires them in life, I'm like, fucking go for it. Like, I don't give a shit if, but if you're, where I have a problem is if a person wants to be big, they want to work on muscle mass and everything, and then they're in a caloric deficit, they're not eating enough, and then they're trying hard and they're not being productive to where they want to go. If a person says, I really want to be fucking strong, and then they're doing as a primary exercise, a fucking single leg fucking Romanian deadlift or some shit, like some unilateral bullshit where, like, just the fact that it's unilateral, it's done on one leg, and the stability becomes so much of a factor, you can't even focus on force production. You can't focus on strength. So there I have a problem. When a person is like, oh, I'm working for strength, and he's doing fucking split squats as an accessory exercise again. Perfectly fine, beautiful.
Oh, Dom, it finally clicked. It finally clicked. I finally got it. You know when you hear something a million times and you don't completely understand? I finally got it about the balance on the one leg compared to your compound lifts with the two, because you're getting more force production. You're finally getting, you're getting that human growth hormone. You're getting the your body's going into the position where it lifts enough where the body's like, fuck, we actually need to grow. But when you're doing the unilateral, people keep on doing, you know, one arm bicep and they go, well, why isn't my bicep growing? Because you haven't even put your body through the position to get the growth. I finally got it.
Beautiful. I'm fucking happy that you got it. Yeah. And it seems fairly simple to me. Like, but again, it seems fairly simple to me now because I spent fucking 15 years of my life focusing on discovering, like, what the fuck do I got to do to be a great martial artist or a great parkour athlete, you know? So,
finish what you're going to say, and then I'll ask you about the next thing.
Just an extra, because like a couple of years ago, I was really fucking shitting on unilateral exercises. So it doesn't mean they're all bad. It doesn't mean like, oh shit, but especially for the lower body, which is very, hips are fairly simple. And Ido Portal had a great saying, hips crave intensity, scapula craves complexity. So shoulders are very complex. It's the most complex joint you can protract, retract, elevate, depress. But you can't do all of that with hips. So that's why for shoulders, some unilateral stuff might be a little bit more productive. And for lower body, some unilateral accessory stuff can be productive for something like injury prevention or knee and ankle stability. So you can get some specific joint preparation there from single leg stuff. That's how I call it. I have no better use for it. I never heard anybody talk about it, but that's how I would call it. I would call it specific joint preparation. That's where I see unilateral exercises can be useful. But again, as a primary exercise, focus on what's basic, like squat, deadlift. It's a pull-up, weighted pull-up, or a overhead press, either in forms of dumbbells or barbell, or a handstand push-up, or a pike push-up, or any type of a calisthenic exercise. And that's always, and those are the basics, and people who do that are fucking strong. If a person can pull a 200-pound weighted pull-up, you can guess that his pulling is fucking strong. His bicep is strong, his brachialis is strong, his forearm is strong, his lat is fucking strong. There's no way you can be weak and pull an 80 kg weighted pull-up, or 180 pounds weighted pull-up. There's no way you can overhead press 100 kgs, 200 pounds, and have weak rotator cuffs. You can't, there's no way that cannot happen. So people who get often obsessed with specialized strength, oh, I need to train external rotation, that's a pattern. Or I need to train internal rotation. Oh, I can train abduction. I can train adduction. And then they get lost in 60 different shoulder, internal, external rotation.
Is that a little bit bullshit? Because I've tried that, and to be honest, seeing that, I feel like my shoulders have gone more injured doing these than by doing these ones. I feel like focusing on the really basic shoulder movements, laying on your stomach and doing these ones, and doing the medial, and then doing an overhead press has been beneficial. And I feel like every single time I'm trying to do what the fuck people say, oh, this is the next best thing, this fucking rotation shit, I feel like the joints in there fucking begging me to stop.
Again, like I said before, there is no bad exercise. If external rotation like makes you feel awkward or painful, you're using either too much weight or too much intensity, or the joint right now is a little bit, maybe the rotator cuff muscles are a little bit inflamed and they fucking don't like being contracted at the moment. That can also be the case. So it can be the case that currently your shoulder doesn't like it. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. That means in your current state, the shoulder is not conditioned and it finds that movement irritable. And in that case, it's definitely okay to not do what hurts. That's the first thing of injury prevention. Your lower back hurts, you started doing something and it hurts more, like, fucking don't do that. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean rotation is a bad exercise. Like, it's funny enough, I always do it as a warm-up just to check if my rotator cuff is tight. Because if rotator cuff is very tight, you go into fucking grappling and you're doing some like freaking guillotines and all sorts of jujitsu, rotator cuff or bicep tendon is always the thing that's going to be tight. So by doing some sort of isolation movement, like just some external rotation, I can see right away before the training how my shoulder feels. How does the rotator cuff feel? Like, does it feel like if I do 4 or 5 reps, does it already feel exhausted? So there's something like to... These movements are great to test how your body actually feels. Like, and you can isolate, I know, a straight arm press and see, what does this provoke my shoulder or not? So that way you can see if there's some troubles there. So that's how I use those movements actually to warm up and assess how everything feels. But as I would not put them on top as an absolute must in case of injury prevention or strength. Because I have stopped doing them for a period of time and I have not seen any negative effects. And that's also something, I don't have a personal bias towards the exercise, usually. I use whatever works. Like, I don't fucking give a shit whether it's calisthenics or weightlifting or powerlifting or fucking whatever the fuck it is. Like, people tend to get too much, oh, I'm body weight, I just do body weight exercises. Yeah, but what if you gain 10 kilograms, you're a fat fuck, then you're doing 10 kgs weighted. It's not body weight anymore because your body weight went up. So you're doing weighted push-ups. So it's like, you know, if you put a weighted vest on pull-ups, it's still a pull-up. It's not, doesn't become a different exercise. If you do a bodyweight squat, it's a beautiful, the most basic calisthenic exercise, bodyweight squat. We do it every day. You squat up to pick up your child. You do a deadlift whenever you pick something from the ground. It's the most basic fucking shit. So why putting some weight on it makes it different? It doesn't. So squat, loaded squat, for me, it's a bodyweight exercise. Yeah, it's in powerlifting. Like, regarding the principles, it's a closed kinetic chain exercise. Your center of mass moves, and yeah, it's a beautiful exercise that it works. If it's weighted or unweighted or less weight, that doesn't change the quality or the benefits that you're going to get from the exercise.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dominic, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks you want to tell the people before we wrap up the podcast?
I just want to say that physical training in any shape or form is an absolutely beautiful thing that I cannot live without. And I have shared it with all of my friends and my mother and my father and everybody. And I would like more people to realize it's not just a beautiful thing, but it's also a necessity for living a healthy life and a pain-free life. Like, I don't see how you can have no back pain, no shoulder pain, no knee pain without actually putting some training in. And if training doesn't work for you, then try to switch it up or try to find a better coach, because there absolutely is a process for everybody to get stronger and enjoy training. Whether that being you want to do more of running or calisthenics or climbing or rope jumping or tennis, whatever it is, you can actually condition your body to do that pain-free, and it's fucking awesome. Like, that's my message. If you don't know how to do it, and reach out to me, I'll help you. But yeah, it's absolutely doable, and it's amazing.
Follow Dominic on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Oh.